The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Brain Boggled Podcast. And I'm doing the Bogtober voice, even though it's not quite Bogtober.
It's Bog Summer, dude.
Bog Summer!
Hot Bog Summer.
Yeah, it's Bog Boy Summer.
Dad Bogs.
DJ.
Got some Dad Bogs out here.
Yeah, a couple Dad Bogs. Got some Dad Pogs, too, because I'm old enough to be a dad, and I have Pogs at my mom's house, I think. Some, like, you know, they probably got some, like, you know, like garbage pail kid like designs, you know, like a weird grotesque looking rat in suspenders riding like a a monster truck or something, you know.
Brent, you know, are you too above the age group to like understand like the lingo of the word pog?
Probably, because I know pogs as like the little cardboard circles with graphic art on them, and you'd put them face down and take your metal slammer. You would slam it on the edge of the pogs, right? And then whatever pogs flipped over were yours to keep.
Oh, Brent, your version of pog is so much more wholesome than the one that I know.
Yeah, pogs were like a fun, wholesome game that we used to play at Tupper Park in the summers that would actually lead to fistfights among children because they'd get angry when they lost pogs.
It just sounds like different marbles.
It was like marbles, but made for like a consumer late stage capitalist generation where it's like, well, you have to buy more
because
you need the one with the crazy
rat
with his eyes bulging out and suspenders riding a motorcycle.
That was a big thing. That's like, you know, in like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, like they just took everything and turned it
into
a collectible.
It had to be collectible. Honestly, some of the pictures I'm looking at right now for our episode topic too, I feel like could make good pog designs, but you'll see those later. but illuminate me, Bobby, before we get into the episode. What is your generation defined pog as?
Oh, I don't know.
Is this an off pod topic?
This might be a like text in the group chat like thing.
What?
I don't know. You can say
no. Pog just means cool. It just means cool in internet lingo.
Oh, that's not what I know it as.
Whatever you know it as is wrong.
P-A-W-G.
Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about P-O-G.
No, I know what that means.
Okay. I'm like, so like you're saying pog. I'm like hearing like pog. Like, oh.
No. Pog is P-O-G.
I'm surprised you haven't heard that, Brent. Okay, I'm glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
but
I'm a well-known freak over here, Brent. So, like, obviously Brent would know what P-A-W-G means. this nasty fucker over here.
Speaking of Brent, who are we all? You know, we haven't introduced ourselves.
Yeah.
I was on top of my alliteration this week. I was ready to go.
Yeah. I don't think I am. You go first then, Bobby.
All right, I'll go first. I am your Bronzo Dragon Bee, Bobby. Ooh. Which is a cryptid.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Okay. I am your Basilisk Bee, Brent. Mm. It's not really a cryptid. It's really more like folklore sort of thing, I guess.
I am your Jabberwock Jay, Jack.
Yes, nice. That's a good one.
I don't know if that's a cryptid.
I like that.
It's a kind of monster.
Yeah, totally. I think it works. There's some weird crossover between things that are considered cryptids and what are just kind of like mythical creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like what I mean. Yeah, cryptid is just like modern Oh, I'm yawning. Cryptid is just like modern mythological creature, basically.
Well, totally. The technical definition of cryptid is that it's like something that might be real, right? Is that like the kind of...
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. As you're going to come to learn, this is probably my least researched episode ever. So that might have been the sort of definition I should have looked into.
Hey, I have it right here for you.
Thank you.
Cryptids. Cryptids are animals that cryptozoologists believe may exist somewhere in the wild, but are not believed to exist by the mainstream science.
More like the lamestream science.
True. That's kind of like mainstream mythology. Some people thought that they were like, yeah, they're just rare out there. You gotta go find them or whatever.
Yeah, they're rare types, you know. You're not gonna find them everywhere in your Pokemon Go to the polls, you know. Yeah. So you gotta go to like the alley behind the Hobby Lobby to find that particular Charizard.
That particular shiny Ponyta.
Yeah.
Red Gyarados.
So first of all, I'm going to give like a quick shout out to our fan, Jason, who inspired this episode. Though, unfortunately, Jason, I'm not actually going to talk about any of the things you suggested, because he suggested we talk about Longhorse and Wendigo. And Wendigo, I feel like, could have its own entire episode dedicated to it. And Longhorse isn't really a cryptid. It's really more of like a creepypasta thing. So I don't know. Maybe some point we'll do like another creepypastas type episode.
There's a long horse. It's a horse with a long neck that has a skull.
I love long horse. Yeah, I think long horse is the funniest thing ever.
Also, long horse apparently is benevolent and like smells like cinnamon or something, just from what I was reading. It's a very we could talk about that in another episode. But what this led me down was the path of lesser known cryptids. So if you've been listening to this show for a while, you've heard our episodes on, say, the Bigfoot or the Mothman or the Jersey Devil. You know, we've talked some cryptids in the past, probably more. I don't really remember. We've done a lot of episodes. Go look through our back catalog if you haven't. We've done a lot. We've talked about a lot of shit. But I was kind of, you know, when I was kind of going down this little rabbit hole looking into things like Longhorse and Wendigo, I kind of stumbled upon a wiki page of just lesser known cryptids, and I was like, okay, what the fuck are some of these? So I kind of want to talk about some of those instead, because, you know, we could do episodes down the road about some of the bigger name tickets, the chupacabras, if you will. Chupacabra. But I want to talk about some weird, unique ones. So without further ado, let's just dive right in. So this first one I want to talk about with you fellas is known as the Loveland Frog.
I feel like I've heard of this.
So we're first going to talk about this bad boy, the Loveland Frog.
This is just a frog.
I don't like this.
It's just an upright frog.
I don't like this.
But he's a real big boy. He's a big boy, though. He's a big boy frog.
I didn't see the size.
You didn't see the helpful diagram there showing him being about like hip height of like what appears to be an average man.
Yeah.
Probably like a 5'9 male.
Yeah, this thing is a nightmare. I used to be scared of Kermit the Frog when I was little, and so this is like my worst nightmare come to life.
Yeah, he's like basically like a Murloc. If you've any World of Warcraft players out there, he looks like a Murloc, but like if he was just a straight up frog. And maybe put a spear in his little web fingers, and then you got yourself a Murloc right there, my friends. So the Loveland Frog. So in Ohio folklore, the Loveland Frog, also known as the Loveland Frogman or Loveland Lizard, is a legendary humanoid frog described as standing as roughly 4 feet tall, or 1.2 meters for our European and non-imperial listeners. He allegedly was spotted in Loveland, Ohio in 1972. The Loveland Frog legend gained renewed attention when a Loveland police officer reported to a colleague that he had seen an animal consistent with the description of the Loveland Frog. Frogman, as it says in my note, the frogman.
he's a frogman. He's a bit of a frogman.
He's a total frogman. Yeah. After a purported sighting in 2016, the second officer called a news station to report that he had shot and killed the same creature some weeks after the 72 incident and had identified it as a large iguana that was missing its tail. So, honestly, classic police behavior right here. Just fucking shooting and killing the thing. I mean, was this guy posing any threat to anybody? Come on. Did you have to shoot him?
I mean, I would. Ridiculous. I would see that thing and I would destroy it. I'd be horrified.
I don't know. Honestly, I say ACAB to this. I say ACAB.
I'd want to ask him some questions. I'd want to know where he's from.
Yeah, and also, like, did he keep the body? Did he just shoot it and be like, yep, that's a big-ass iguana with no tail. just court adjourned. Leave the body wherever he fucking saw it. Excuse you, sir?
A four-foot-long iguana.
Maybe it got run over by a big giant truck and became like a little, you know, when you see one of those like roadkill frogs.
In Looney Tunes or something. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Some total Looney Tunes sitch on our hands right here. So continuing on, University of Cincinnati folklore professor Edgar Slotkin, great name, compared the Loveland frog to Paul Bunyan, saying that stories about it have been passed down for several decades, in quotes, and that sighting reports seem to come in predictable cycles. I'll probably make a brain bloggled for this one so you guys can look at these pictures in your spare time, and I'll put some of the sources cited in the wiki here too if you want to read further into it. In May of 2014, the Loveland Frog legend was made into a musical.
What?
Speaking of singing.
What? That's so
entitled,
good.
Entitled Hot Diggity Dog, It's the Loveland Frog.
Yes!
I want to see that musical. Obviously, it's off-Broadway. I don't think that one ever made it to Broadway.
I think it's on YouTube, maybe?
That's a crime.
I'm going to look it up.
If it's on YouTube, I'll absolutely be sharing it in the Brain Bloggled. So go to brainbogglepodcast.com to check that out. Again, least research episode I've ever done. So some of these things are a surprise to me as I'm reading them. I'm like, wait, nice. What?
Like, wow, look at this thing. It's crazy. It's called The Loveland Frog.
Yeah.
No, there's no videos of the musical online.
That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. If you live in the Ohio area and you've seen this musical or know of any black box theater productions of it coming to your area, please go film it and just email it to us at brainbogglepodcast@gmail.com. We want to see it. We need to see it.
I want to be in it.
I know. Maybe Bobby could play the Loveland Frog, the titular frog himself.
Tis I, the titular frog, the Loveland Frog.
It's basically the gremlin character, if we're being honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Bobby's I mean, he's got the hunch, doing. You know?
Yeah, totally. Let's move on to our next one.
Oh, I found a review.
Okay, before we do, let's hear it.
We have to read
it's called,
the review.
It's called Hot Damn. It's the Loveland Frog review. No sophomore slump for Mike Hall and Joshua Steele. They're Hugo West theatricals. Return, blah, 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 blah. They return with Hot Damn, It's the Loveland Frog, a bluegrass musical comedy based on the 1955 amphibious anomaly. what the? If I had to pick a favorite moment, it would be when Bobby holds me tight, a great ballad with a good balance of humor and sweetness.
See, I have to be in it now.
Overall, the Loveland Frog will not make you hoot and holler with laughter. We'll make you hoot and holler with laughter. Great job. Get your tickets early. This is the worst review
holler,
ever.
Holler.
That last sentence is the only actual review. Yeah. Everything else is just like info dump.
No, this is just like this is just like they asked like a friend of like, hey, can you like write a review for this and post it somewhere? Yeah, dog, I can handle that for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sure, here's I like this part and this part, and I like this part.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's the description of the play. Something is lurking in Loveland. The sweetness, the sweet, I can't read. Something is lurking in Loveland, the sweetheart of Ohio, where the disappearance of a strange old man has rekindled the hysteria surrounding America's most alluring cryptozoological phenomenon. Okay, I don't know if it's the America's most alluring cryptozoological phenomenon.
You gotta sell it, dude. You gotta sell the play, you know?
Join Luke Honeywell and a smoking bluegrass band on a riotous Ooh. River adventure with maniacal moonshiners, crooked cops, and the last Twighty Indian as they rescue Peepaw from the wondrous and elusive Loveland Frog, based on true accounts and featuring an all-star cast. All-star
Oh, wait,
cast?
Based on true accounts. Okay. I'm intrigued now.
Maybe we should have done a whole episode about the Loveland
Frog.
Which
is like even more hedged than based on a true story. Based on true accounts is like, yeah, man.
Some dude said this to me.
Yeah. It is true that somebody said this to me.
Honestly, like, I love this thing. I really want to see the play, and I really would love to, like, have, like, dinner in a movie with somebody and just watch the Loveland Frog, like, play, you know?
Frankly, right. I hope they make plays about all these random-ass fucking cryptids that we're going to talk about today.
That was a nice segue.
So let's move on from that one. Let's talk about this next guy who picture for me. It's like the picture for this one makes it for me. This guy here, known as Ningen. This sad looking freak here called the Ningen or the Ningen.
Ningen.
N-I-N-G-E-N. He's from Japanese folklore, so I'm not. So this guy just looks like he kind of looks like you guys are both too young to know this reference probably, but Homestar Runner back in the day. There are these flash animation cartoons. There's a guy called Strong Sad.
You showed me those cartoons before, but I don't know this character.
Yeah, he's this character.
Strong Sad. Isn't the one main guy Strong Bad?
Well, there's Strong Bad, who kind of like was sort of the sort of he wasn't like Homestar Runner was like the main character of the website, but Strong Bad sort of became sort of like the hit character that came out of all that.
The cult favorite.
I think most people. Yeah, he kind of became like the most popular character, even though Homestar Runner was like the titular character of the website. Because like these different characters would have their own shows, and like Strong Bad had like his like an advice email show where he just like answered. Yeah, but he kind of Strong Sad is the character who I think of. It's just kind of this like blob of a sad looking boy. Yeah. But if you took Strong Sad but just made it like his head were on top of the legs and got rid of the torso and arms is what the Negan would look like.
See, to me, the Negan looks like, I don't know if either of you guys watched Bear in the Big Blue House when you were kids, but it looks like the moon from Bear in the Big Blue House. I'll send it in the chat.
Totally. So let me talk about Negan here. Every time I say the name, like I just think of Negan from Walking Dead, and I get kind of annoyed, but the legend surrounding the Negan began in 2002 on a forum post on a Japanese online forum website called 2chan or 2channel, which claims that the members of a whale research ship witnessed the creature as it surfaced near their ship off the Arctic coast. Again, a lot of these have citations needed. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing it, Bobby.
See what I mean?
I see it. Yeah, just slap some human legs on that bad boy.
That's totally the Negan.
Yeah.
Waxed human legs.
It's got the same emotion for sure.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's scary.
Although this one's like weirdly like horny. His face is like
you mean
weirdly
the moon?
Horny.
The moon?
Whereas like the Negan is like more like needs a Xanax or something.
Yeah,
it's kind of depressed.
The moon. The moon kind of knows something I don't.
Yeah. It has a sexy little secret.
It's the moon has seen a lot, you know?
But anyway. Anyway, that got weird. Originally thinking it was a submarine, the crew went to take a closer look, but the submarine, quote unquote, vanished into the waves. Also a citation needed for that one.
Okay.
In 2005, Google Earth captured what many people supposed to be a Negan off the Namibian coast near the Southern Ocean. I don't know what they mean by the Southern Ocean. Are we talking Indian Ocean?
Yeah.
Arctic Ocean? What are we talking about here? Many skeptics believe that the Nijin was actually an iceberg that was coincidentally looked like the sea monster. In 2010, a Japanese ocean research company published a YouTube video showing the ocean life that was observed. Near the end of the video, a large creature with small eyes and a large smiling slit mouth can be spotted lying on the ocean floor. Though most people think that the infamous Nijin was spotted, some people say it was most likely a snaggle-toothed snake eel. Sometime around the 2010s, another unknown user posted underwater footage depicting a large humanoid sea creature, which many believe to be the Nijin. So I have a picture of that one here. I couldn't find the YouTube video they were talking about, but I'll do some more digging.
Dude, I'm looking up the snaggletooth, like whatever tooth,
yeah.
Snake eel. This thing is crazy looking.
What's this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm on my phone looking at it, but like just like Google it, it's crazy.
Oh, it does look a bit like a ninja.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes. Yeah, so the picture I'm showing on screen now for you boyos is what supposedly was spotted in that second underwater footage that someone believes is the Nijin. I don't know.
That looks like algae or something.
That
doesn't look like anything.
that shape could be anything.
Dude, humans, know, like, dude. We love to make shapes into things that we want them to be.
Yeah, so like I'm not really convinced by this as being real in any real shape or form, but he's just kind of a real goofy looking boy. So I just wanted to share that guy with you. I love the idea of this guy just like coming up on land, just like all sad look.
Hey man, hey guy.
Bye, buddy.
Can I just like borrow a fiver? You know,
like dude. Jen.
I promise I'll return it.
I just need money for the bus, man.
Yeah, I just need bus fare, dude.
I gotta get to work, man.
Just comes up to complain. Guys, my legs are kind of itchy.
Yeah, it's like, shut up, dude.
Oh, dude.
God, you're such a fucking whiner. What a loser. All right,
go
so
back under
this
the
next
water.
One. Yeah, so this next one might be my favorite one, mainly just because of its relation to my favorite thing to talk about right now, which is Dune, which is the Mongolian death worm.
Oh,
dude, I read about these a while ago, and I saw a video on YouTube that was like one of those fake videos of the like Mongolian. It's like Mongolian death worm, like spotted in the desert or something. This is so weird. This just like revealed a memory I had of like of like doing like late night research on the Mongolian death worm.
I love this stuff, because this feels like one of those things that I wouldn't be completely surprised if they found one. You know what I mean? Like, oh wow, they actually found the Mongolian death worm, kind of like the giant squid a couple years ago.
Totally. Now it's interesting you bring that up, because we'll get into it a little bit later on this one, but yeah, so I like this one in particular because it is sourced as like a partial inspiration for Shai-Hulud, the sandworm of Dune.
Shai-Hulud,
the maker's water. It is a Chris knife. I can totally get some sweet Chris knives out of this bad boy. Look at those teeth.
Bro, you could get mad Chris knives out of this.
Mad
thing.
Chris knives off that maker.
I'm assuming the
this
Chris
is
knives are
this
teeth.
Is. I feel like this is an older, maybe not older. I don't know. I feel like this is the came to the West attention in 1926. That seems pretty early for. Well, I guess a lot of cryptids are from the early turn of the century.
So this one is like one from Mongolian culture that goes back a while. I didn't put it down in my notes, but I was kind of reading through some of the sources, and I think it goes back to like maybe like the 1500s is like when there was like first tell in sort of Mongolia of this death worm, maybe even earlier than that. But the Mongolian death worm, otherwise known as the large intestine worm, which is like what the direct Mongolian translate equals in English.
But they were like, that doesn't sound nearly as scary. So we need to, nobody's going to be afraid of this thing if we call it the intestine worm.
Yeah, totally. You know, English imperialists like had to like come up with something more interesting than that so that they could like send expeditions out there to, just take shit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally. But now,
how big is this thing supposed to be?
Great question. I don't remember if my notes actually said how big it is. I don't recall reading a specific size. You know, it's like one of those sort of like folklore things where like, oh, it's massive, fucking massive death worm. But like no like specific like details to that degree were articulated in what I could find.
In the book, in the 1926 book On the Trail of the Ancient Man that it is referencing here, it says that it is described as about 2 feet long.
Which would make sense that they call it the large intestine worm, right? Because it would look like a large intestine taken out of someone's like a body. It's like
a
stretch.
It's like a big worm. So
I would have expected it to be bigger because it sounds like it just is people were missed. If somebody was like a 2 foot, there's a 2 foot man eating worm in the desert, I'd be like, you mean a snake? That sounds
it was definitely just a snake, dude.
It's funny you should say that. I'll just skip ahead to that part real quick, because in 1983 a specimen of Tartar sand boa was shown to locals who had claimed to seen the Mongolian death worm, then they confirmed that was the same animal. So now,
it was a snake.
And like, if I scroll down in my notes here for the picture, I mean, it doesn't even really look anything like the painting at all. It literally just looks like a snake.
Yeah, it's just a snake, dude.
Yeah, that's a pretty standard snake. Here, for the listeners at home, snake. Imagine a snake.
You got it. You nailed it. That's what it looks like. Now, mind you, this is in 1983, so so if you're having a game of telephone that's existed for 500 years, who knows what the first people who supposedly saw this thing saw.
All right, then, fair enough.
So I'm not going to say the Mongolian death worm is real, but I can see over time people, when you have this sort of legend that's like so ubiquitous in a culture, that like over time people just start to spot anything and be like, that's it, that's the thing, I saw it. Yeah, to the point where like maybe people are just like, see a snake and like, yep, that's it, I saw that death worm, it was slithering through the sand, and that was that fucking death worm.
Yeah, it could have been like dark out or something, or maybe the snake
is
like
bloody. People outside that culture see it, you're like, it's a snake, dude. What are you talking about? Yeah. That's just a snake slithering through sand. Like, what?
If you think about it, snakes are kind of worse than Mongolian death worms. I mean, they're just like these giant deadly things that like kill us,
Right.
So if anything, it's more interesting. A snake is more interesting than just a big old worm.
Right. Because here's the thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Referring back to the book, I'm going to jump back a little bit here. The creature first came to Western attention as a result of Roy Chapman Andrews' 1926 book, On the Trail of Ancient Man, that Zach mentioned earlier. The American paleontologist, he was American, I assumed English because of the name. Roy Chapman Andrews sounds like a fucking English explorer if I've ever heard one. But the American paleontologist described secondhand tales of the monster that he heard at a gathering of Mongolian officials as, quote, none of those present ever had seen the creature, but they all firmly believe in its existence and described it minutely. So interesting to note that like in 1926 when he like spoke with these Mongolians who were passing down the legend, none of them had actually seen this thing, but like it is so sort of like described over the years of just like passed down folklore, if you will, that like they all like would describe this thing pretty much identically. So,
well, I mean, it's not hard to describe a two-foot
snake slithering through sand. Yeah,
yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, yeah. It's it is funny though how it's like. It's like, you know, Mongolia is just mainly, you know, just the Gobi Desert, yeah. Right? And so it's like their mythological creature is something that has to be able to hide in the desert. So it's like, oh yeah, it's just a burrowing kind of snake kind of thing. You
but
know?
I mean, there but, are like giant worms like in the ocean and like, you know. Like just in the jungle, you can find like pretty giant worms out there.
So yeah. Well, no. My point is that an aspect of a mythological creature is it has to be able to hide because nobody ever sees it.
Oh. Right.
So like in you know Europe, where you have giant mountains and forests, you can have you know dragons and trolls and stuff that lives in caves and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, a dragon can't hide in the desert, really.
Or in the United States, you have Bigfeet, who are interdimensional time travelers, who can just teleport in and out of our dimension. So,
have we talked about the Bigfoot, the SCP Bigfoot?
I don't think so.
Did we? Did it come up when we were doing? It might have. Did it come up when we talked about the Dyalov Pass, the whole like radioactive Bigfoot punches?
I don't think we did. But because they're not in the SCP Foundation's versions of Bigfoot. I believe are SCP 1000, but they are like they were an ancient like hyper intelligent race that I think like bombed each other into the Stone Age.
Oh shit! Okay,
and then like devolved or something, and now are like hidden. They are super. The SCP Foundation has a few of them like working for them, I think, as like scientists or something. But anyway,
gotcha. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, if you haven't seen our radioactive Dyatlov's Pass. Conversation. We do have a YouTube video of that one.
That's right. Bobby did a boggled tune. What do we call
it? Brain tune?
Brain
tune? No, that sounds horrible. Bog tune? I don't remember, dude. I'm too lazy now to do any of that stuff. I don't remember what we called them.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have one. You can watch it.
Go see what it is.
So mainly I just wanted to talk about that one because it gave me excuse to bring up Dune again.
Yes, always.
Always. Anytime I could talk about the Maker. The Maker in The Way of Shai-Hulud, I want to talk about it. So
bless the Maker and his the Maker and his water.
Absolutely.
Bless the coming and the going of him.
Yes.
I forget what the rest of it is.
Yeah, no, something like that. We'll go back to C.H. Tabor and like read the sacred doctrine.
We'll read some stuff.
All right. So last one I wanted to talk about because it hits close to home. And this one's called the Dover Demon.
Dude.
The reason why it's called the Dover Demon is because it's from Dover, Massachusetts.
Oh shit!
Hey, close to home.
Yeah, exactly. That's near us. So
we're gonna go down to Dover, kid.
I don't actually know where Dover sits in the state of Massachusetts.
That's a good question.
I've never heard of Dover.
Is that Western Mass or is that like Eastern Mass? I really don't know.
It is near Dedham, which is
in Boston.
West of Boston, yeah.
Yeah, so property values are probably too expensive. I was going to say, we should check out, let's see what the houses look like there, but...
yeah, no, it's definitely range of expensive.
If it's near Dedham, then they're probably like all $1 million each. So, never mind. Hey, unless you join that brain boggled Patreon, your boys are never gonna afford a house like that. That's for sure.
Yeah, can we have a new? We need a new tier that's just buy the boys a house.
Let me tell you two things. If it's west of Worcester or south of Boston, it might as well not be in the state.
That's true. Right?
Let's be real here. And if you live anywhere else in Massachusetts, you know that's true.
But you know what this means, though. This means we can go find the Dover demon, guys. We can go hunt for it.
We totally can. If he's real, we could totally do it.
Okay, wait. This guy, we could find this guy, the 17-year-old who William Bill Bartlett. We could find him.
Yeah, he's like a 50-year-old boomer now. So you could find this dude. He's probably working for fucking like, I don't know, like IBM or some shit now.
Yeah,
like,
he's one of those people that owns one of those.
He literally might
houses.
Be in the town. Yeah, he literally might be working in the town that we work out of, Bobby. Like we
it's
could like take
possible.
A drive down the road and just be like, hey, do you know a fucking William Bartlett? Does he happen to work here? Just
100%.
Start knocking on every office door, you know?
But I would
anyway,
be surprised.
So before I go into my brief notes about him, I would give just a brief physical description. Bobby kind of nailed it on the head. He basically looks like a quadruped Squidward.
Hey, Squidward.
He's basically
hey, Squidward.
He's kind of like a cross between like Squidward and like a gray alien and like a creature that you would see in sort of like Oddworld, like Abe's Odyssey or some shit. Like, I have a couple in mind.
Yeah,
let's see if I can find some pictures of that.
That's definitely accurate.
Totally. But, man, sorry that my laptop is slow. Oddworld boss aliens. I don't know.
Oh, you have a specific one in mind.
Yeah, he kind of looks like... he's got, like, the hands and feet of, like, the Abe alien creatures, but he also has got like the face of like one of these dudes.
Oh,
yeah, here, this kind of like weird, except minus the cigar.
yeah, oh, yeah,
but
yeah,
he's
yeah.
also, but he's also got like sort of like the hands and feet of like Abe. Is
yeah, he looks very. He looks like yeah, he looks like he's something right out of there. Also, yeah, yeah. I found William Bartlett.
Oh shit! Oh. Okay,
he's an artist.
Oh damn! But damn,
and
Bartlett.
He studied at the Museum of Fine Arts School. He's a pretty good artist.
Okay.
Does he just draw the Dover Demon?
No. He does a few portraits. He has a few. He's got a few of those like hyper realistic paintings.
Oh
shit.
He's got a few still lifes. It's like stuff that you would see in like, yeah.
Oh wow.
Okay, Bill.
Yeah, he's a pretty good artist.
Damn.
Yeah. Why?
All right, Squilliam.
Yeah, you got some good shit here, boy.
Yeah, like I'm looking. I feel Henry like I'm looking Bartlett. At a fine arts like museum book that I took home.
Yeah,
and
go
it's like,
check out WilliamBartlettFineArt.com, guys. If you want to see some
support
of
your
stuff
local artists.
Yeah,
we're also.
Yeah, we also got guideofbostonartist.org, so you know you can check that one out too. Yeah, go check this guy's shit out. I wonder how much this is going for.
Bill Bartlett's just gonna get like a ton of like random like emails and sales on his art, and he's gonna be like, "What happened?" It's like, yeah dude.
Let's see if
that's
we can price this bad boy.
$5,000
for
of
Billy's.
I was like, $5,000
selling shit at a premium. Oh.
I was
all right, new Patreon tier. Buy the BB&J boys a fucking a Will Bartlett a ridge.
Yes. Oh my god.
Damn.
Do you think we could get him to we could commission him to do a Dover Demon painting?
I bet we could. I would want us in it though, like hunting for the Dover Demon, you know?
Yeah, or totally, we could do totally. Like a family portrait. Oh my god, yeah, like one of those like one of those like romantic those like 1800s paintings of like the lords on the great hunt, and we have like our hunting dogs out.
Absolutely,
we're all on. An
yeah, we're up on horseback.
Yeah,
and we're
like
we're on horseback. There's some hounds.
Yes,
the
we
pointers.
Will get. Yeah. They're like, yes, dog. We. It's a good stock. It's a good stock of Dover Demons we bred this year.
Yeah, I just got
out into the woods.
With my aloft blunderbust.
Yeah,
by my side.
Like, completely flayed out and just being like, hop,
hop, ho, chap, now to the demon. The dog's got to send to the demon, chaps.
I could just picture like that nice foggy English morning.
Yeah,
totally.
Kind of overcast, you know.
Hey, Absolutely. William Bartlett, if you're a fan and you want to do this for free,
yeah, totally.
Yeah,
that'd be cool too.
Yeah, we'll send you a T-shirt. We'll send you a Brain Boggle T-shirt.
Well, that'll be the tier. Instead of like $5 for a T-shirt, the tier will be paint us a picture for a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get nice. We'll turn this into a little bit of a nice artist commune type situation, like bartering system where we trade our goods.
Wait, what if we ditch fiat currency
altogether?
Let's ditch currency and let's make these things called non-fungible tokens, and we'll use art to digital art.
Now you're talking, Bob. Mm. Now we're talking.
Oh my goodness!
Glad no one's thought of this.
Look at this. Okay, I'm reading more about the Dover Demon to get back onto that topic. Although
here's Bill down here.
It's still Bill. Oh. here's Bill. Here's Bill. Still is Bill Bartlett related, but it says the teenagers all drew sketches, and Bartlett wrote on his sketch, "I, Bill Bartlett, swear on a stack of Bibles that I saw this creature."
I trust him.
Yeah.
Wait, so that sketch.
Yep, I have that in my notes. Yeah.
That sketch in your notes is done by Bill Bartlett.
Is it like for
absolutely.
A fact?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why I included it.
That's the Bill Bartlett
is like he's like the main witness of this thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why that sketch is so sweet, because it's done by an amazing artist.
I want to see a video of him talking about the Dover Demon. I don't want to see him talk about his art.
I don't want to see him talk about his stupid art. Imagine we play the video and he's like, okay, well, so everyone knows me from the Dover Demon thing. Right?
Yeah. So we're just going to talk about that.
Everyone was like, hey, you're like, your drawing of the Dover Demon is like really good. You should like pursue this, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should pursue art.
You guys got a long list of credits though, but anyway we'll get back on the topic at hand real quick. We can talk more about Bill after. Let's see. So this sighting happened in Dover, Massachusetts on April 21st and 22nd of 1977. 17-year-old William Bill Bartlett, our good buddy Bill, claimed that while driving on April 21st, 1977, he saw a large-eyed creature with tendril-like fingers and glowing eyes on top of a broken stone wall on Farm Street in Dover, Massachusetts. 15-year-old John Baxter reporting seeing a similar creature on Miller Hill, Miller Hill Road the same evening. Another 15-year-old Abby Brabham claims to have seen the creature the following night on Springdale Avenue. And then we got a source for that. I'll include in the blog. The teenagers all drew sketches of the alleged creature. Bartlett wrote on the sketch, as Jack said, I, Bill Bartlett, swear on a stack of Bibles that I saw this creature, according to the Boston Globe. According to the Boston Globe, the locations of the sightings plotted on a map lay in a straight line over 2 miles. So, interesting. Interesting little note there.
Very interesting.
So some suggest that the creature may have been a foal or a moose calf. So they just like saw some like baby long-legged four-legged creature in the night. And
near Boston?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty... For people who are not from this area, you don't really see moose that far south. Typically, you're not seeing them until you're at least in like New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even Maine. Like, it's pretty rare to see them en masse.
It would more likely to be a baby deer or a horse or something. Yeah.
Now I did see a moose like once in Western Mass when I was a kid. I went camping and we saw a moose. I forget where it was, but it was near, what was the name of the place? We used to make fun of it. It was called like Assenberg or something stupid like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, it was like
I don't know,
A-hole or something.
Yeah. But that makes a little bit more sense, because when you get pretty far out into Western Mass, you're getting close to like upstate New York and stuff and that area. Whereas like Dover, Mass, based on what we said, is like near like Boston. Like, it's not the kind of area where you would expect to see a moose, really. I can't say I've really heard of any moose sightings in, like, eastern
Hey man, the 70s
mass
were
by the water.
We're a different time, dude.
You won't even see moose where we are, though. You know, like, we're, like, pretty north of Boston, and you wouldn't even see a moose here. Like a
Yeah, not really. It's bears, too populated maybe, but... of an area. Yeah, we have bears occasionally, but, because they come looking for the food and shit. But anyway, and then police told the Associated Press that the creature reported by the teenagers were, quote, were probably nothing more than a school vacation hoax, which I'm not exactly sure what that means. Like, they were they trying to get off of school by saying they saw a monster? Or are they saying that the kids were on April vacation and just made some shit up? Like, I'm not sure, like, what they mean by a school vacation hoax.
I feel like the former is a little bit more... believable.
Maybe, but like, how would you get them to cancel school by saying I saw a monster on the road? Like, would they cancel school over that? I don't know. Like, they barely cancel school when we have like a foot of snow on the ground, not to mention like a monster walking across the road in the middle of the night. Like, what? I don't know. So my guess would be is that this was during April vacation when this happened.
That's a good point. I totally see that.
But I don't know. It's just kind of a weird little detail there. But yeah, that's the Dover demon right there. So, only sighting ever reported. So, you know. Who knows? I would say they probably just saw, like, a baby deer or some shit. But I would like to believe that he's a weird alien man.
If I were just, a Britain man.
I just booked a parking pass to Dover, Mass. I'm going to go there later today, and I'm going to prove you wrong, Brent.
For a quick half little second.
I don't know why you need a parking pass.
That was the weirdest thing to like. I pre-ordered my parking pass. You know how busy Dover gets. You got to get
That was a very weird thing for me to say.
There's no public free parking in Dover.
Yeah. It's notorious for your need of parking passes.
Well, it's because so many people are coming there trying to find that damn demon.
You know, I was trying to, like, pivot last minute because I knew it was going to sound stupid. And then I was like, what else would you, like, pre-book?
Well, you sounded even stupider, Bob, in the end.
You know.
Well, I thought you meant, like, a train ticket, like, that, like, the T goes through there or some shit. Like,
honestly,
yeah, that would have made more sense.
If honestly, that would have been
Bob,
better.
You should have made a commuter rail reference or something.
Yeah, that would have been much better.
We'll workshop it for next time. Don't worry. Don't you worry there, Bub.
Absolutely.
The stream has ended. Yeah. Cricket noise. Cricket, cricket, cricket.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, when you swing for the fences, sometimes you strike out, you know, and that's okay, you know, because it's better than if you never swung at all.
Aww.
And I just want to leave it on a weirdly, like, inspirational poster moment there, because that's my last one.
You're inspiring my horrible social skills.
Yeah, so I'm encouraging this poor behavior from Bobby so that we can sclamp on him in future episodes.
But good. Yeah, we don't want to have me like
sclamped, Bob.
If I talked like perfectly and didn't screw up all the time, then it wouldn't be as entertaining, would it? So
yeah,
you're welcome.
Our podcast would be way less successful, honestly.
Or maybe I need to be fired. Maybe that's why we're not passing like.
Hey, man, listen. There's a tier. Replace one. Give us $1 million, and you can replace one of us on the podcast.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that the $1 million actually goes to the two people that are not getting replaced.
Yeah, sucks to suck, Bob. I don't know what to tell you. You got to. You just gotta hope that you just gotta hope you don't get replaced. That's the deal. That's the deal.
You gotta get good, Bobby. You just gotta get good.
You
don't get replaced. Yeah.
Well, that was
so,
a fun
yeah. That's
one.
All I got. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a nice one. That's a little cute little.
Yeah.
Cute
that was cute.
Demon.
That was a cute little episode.
I'm into
the
Dover demon. I'm into that cute little frogman loving stuff. Frogman. What's his name?
Yeah.
Bill Bartlett.
Frog. Yeah. Bill Bartlett the frogman.
Yeah. Yeah. How about we get Babel Bartlett to do some art of the other cryptids we talked about today instead of that one?
Hey.
Yeah. Make us a Loveland frogman.
If anyone knows Bill. Painting. Please send us his contact information.
Yeah, make us a Lovin' Stuff Frogman, please.
HR Puffin' Stuff Frog.
This is great, though, because, you know, this came all from emails from our viewers, just like the inspiration for this episode. So So yeah, we love hearing from you guys.
Thank you again, Jason, for that. And we will do an actual Wendigo episode at some point. But it was not today because your boy was lazy.
Yeah, we'll do a Wendigo when we go to
the polls.
The polls.
Like Pokemon.
Yes! Yes! Pokemon go to the polls!
Pokemon, man.
Oh, man, dude. I hope Hillary Clinton runs 2024.
Oh, that's going to be great. We definitely won't descend into fascism if that happens.
Didn't, like, last month she, like, officially stated that she's not running, which is hilarious.
Thank God. Please don't.
Like, she doesn't want a Pokemon go to the polls anymore?
It's bad enough that we got Joe in there right now who's, like, stinking up the place.
God, Joe, please don't run again. Like,
please don't run again. But I also, we're in a rough spot, people. If you're not from America, we're in a rough spot. We're in a very rapid descent into fascism right now, and it doesn't feel very good. Maybe email us with your suggestion of who should run for who should primary Joe Biden in this next election, because... Joe ain't it.
Let's just say the people aren't represented anymore.
I don't know. It kind of just feels like when I was in middle school that there wasn't a rapid decline of the American Empire, but maybe I was just oblivious to it.
Yeah, it definitely feels worse these days.
I was in middle school.
It's accelerated.
In the early 2000s, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were signs, but it's accelerated real quick in the last about like 4 to 8 years. Mm. And, That freight train just seems to be a rolling, and the old Joe Biden is not there gonna flip the switch to try to veer the track away.
Well, it seems like they kind of just like realize that they can do whatever they want and there are no consequences for them, and I think that's kind of the problem.
I mean, not to make this podcast like super political at the end, but a big part of the problem too is you got like a Joe Biden who's just like, man, guys, what are we gonna do about this? It's like, you're the fucking president. Do anything, like, but Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, like, they're being so mean.
These guys,
like, they're
suck
your party. Like, fucking do you're the one who has the power to fucking leverage them. Do something.
Yeah.
You know what's not probably gonna help is giving Joe Manchin's wife like a job, like as a seat on like this like board of whatever the fuck that he just like gave her job, or giving like. Mitch McConnell, like court justice nominees who are like anti-abortion, and be like, "All right, I'll give you this one, Mitch." Like, wait, what? Why?
Wait, what?
Why? Yeah. Why? Do you think that's gonna help? Like, you think Mitch is gonna be like, "Thanks, Joe. You know what? We will let you do what you want to do now because you gave me that judge that I wanted." Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
fun to watch. It's fun to watch everything fall apart in real time. But anyway, I need to wrap this up because I just got a Whole Foods delivery at the house.
Oh, yeah.
Go collect that from my stoop.
Yeah, and I just got a Ben delivery. Ben's randomly at my house. What the heck? That's weird.
Oh, weird.
Well, we're going on a bike ride.
Oh, that's fine. Good for you guys.
I got nothing. Right, so bye. Well,
oh, come on.
So
Jack.
Thanks for listening, guys. You know, quick shout outs, website BrainBogglePodcast BrainBogglePodcast.com, email BrainBogglePodcast@gmail.com, Patreon patreon.com/BrainBogglePodcast, social media, BrainBoggled on Instagram, BrainBogglePod on Twitter, 5-star reviews where you can. If you're a Spotify listener, they opened up 5-star reviews for that. So please, I've been seeing them coming in. So thank you for doing it.
Thank you
keep
very
them
much.
Coming in. We love to see it. We
keep
love to hear it.
Them
thank you so much for listening.
Rolling.
And keep rolling.
Nice sign off.
Bye.